Have you ever worked really, really hard on something that took an extensive period of time, and then finally you arrive at that day? I guess one of the things that I'm thinking about in this regard, particularly, is like college. I can still remember the first day of college, and I thought, this is going to be a long journey. And then all of the hard work and all the difficulty and setbacks and all the different things that I went through to get to a particular point. And that particular point was graduation day. And then everything culminated at graduation. You sit back and you think, man, it was worth everything that I had to put into it. It was worth all the setbacks. It was worth all the late nights. And now I've made this accomplishment. And what a joy that is. Well, yeah, you know what it's like to finally reach that particular pinnacle. And today we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Exodus as we once again continue our look at Exodus. And today we're going to look at the day of deliverance out of Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. So grab that Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to thank you for joining us today, and I hope and pray that you've got your Bible with you already turned over to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to look at some verses there today. A minute ago, one of the things I was asking you about that we were talking about is particularly in the scriptures, the day of deliverance. But can you think of that time when you worked so hard at something and it was just so much? It wasn't one of those things that just happened overnight. You had to work diligently and you had to work very, very hard to get from where you were to a particular point. I mentioned the situation of college, and it was 4 years in most people's cases. In mine, it was actually a few more than that, but to get from point A to point B. And then what it was like on that particular day when there was graduation, it was just such fulfillment. Well, as we've been looking at the situation of Exodus, one of the things that we understand is that this is coming to the moment of deliverance. Everything has been building up to this particular point. Now, this is not exactly when they left, when Israel left Egypt, but this is a point where God is going to deliver them. You have to remember that, particularly with Moses, as he was out there tending the sheep, you know, God went to him and said, you're going to be the person that I'm going to send to Pharaoh with the message to let my people go. Remember that conversation took place at the burning bush, and then all the meetings that Moses has been having with Pharaoh, essentially saying, let my people go. And then Pharaoh, you know, being wishy-washy, flipping back and forth. At one minute he says he will, one minute he says he's not. And all the different things that God has had to do to get the attention of Pharaoh, all of that was leading toward this particular day that we're going to look at today, the day of deliverance. So if you have your Bible, we're going to be looking at the passages out of Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1, it says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. Verse 4, and if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next door to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in a fire, its head with its legs and entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute my judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful for this opportunity that we have just to be able to share in your word. Lord, we're thankful that as we continue to read your word, we see once again how you just showed up so faithfully in the life of the Israelites. Lord, how you heard their prayers in regard to the slavery, and then how you've delivered them. And Lord, we realize that you want to do the same thing with us today. Lord, this is not just a short process. This is something that can often take time. Help us, Lord, to be patient, to cooperate with what you have in store for each and every one of us as we move forward in our lives. And Lord, as we serve you, Father, for today, I just pray that you would use me, that you would anoint these words, that the hearer might truly be blessed and they may hear the words of the Holy Spirit in their own heart and in their own life, and may they be drawn closer to you. Father, reach your people today and use your servant as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so when we begin to look at where we are, and we see that this is the particular day, that everything has been building up for this. Moses, you know, when the Lord approached him at the burning bush, he said, this is the day that we're looking for. And all these things that had taken place, all the journeys, all the excuses, all the going to Pharaoh, all of the fear in some cases, was culminating up to this day. This is a very, very important day that is getting ready to take place. It is called the Day of Deliverance. And when we look at it in the scriptures, for the Jews, yeah, it's called the Passover. Now, for you and I today, it is a type of sacrifice, and that is exactly what took place at Calvary's cross. You know, when we sit back and we think about what was taking place in that day, this was before Jesus. It was back in the days of the Old Testament when sacrifices took place with animals, because we know that the Word tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So therefore, they repeatedly, because it wasn't a perfect sacrifice, when they sacrificed, say, a lamb or a goat for the remission of their sin, that was only temporary because the sacrifice wasn't perfect. It wasn't greater than what they were. So then when you fast forward things, you get up to when Christ walked this earth, and then he went to Calvary's cross, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he was our perfect sacrifice. And that's the reason that we don't have to continue to sacrifice over and over again, because Jesus was our perfect sacrifice. Not only did he pay the sin debt for the past, he pays it for the present, and he paid it for the future when he went to Calvary's cross. So what a joy that is for you and I to be able to know this as we serve him. So this is the type of Passover for us. I like what D.L. Moody said. He said, this is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, just because it's filled with so much that you and I need to know. You have to think about what had taken place, the pleading that Moses had done with Pharaoh. You think about the plagues that took place, and you think about how there was failure along the way. Now, deliverance, there's only one way that deliverance can come. There was only one way that deliverance would come back then, and there's only one way that deliverance comes to you and I today, and that is through the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Often when I think about that, and over the years of ministry, there have been people who have asked me, they said, what is so significant about the blood? And I've even thought about that in our current and modern day time. Have you ever thought about this? Blood is something that science can't replicate in a lab. It's not something that can be, you know, created in test tubes and beakers and flasks and that sort of thing. If somebody needs a blood transfusion in our day and age, it has to come from another human being. That's why the Red Cross has blood drives and these other organizations go out and have blood drives. It's because blood cannot be replicated. Lord, our Lord tells us that life and power is in the blood. And I love the fact that even as sophisticated and technologically advanced as we are in society today, blood is something that cannot be recreated. It has to come from a human body. Now, you can give it to somebody else of the same blood type, but it cannot be replicated by science. So there's some significance of blood even in our day and age as we live moment by moment, day by day. So one of the first things that we want to look at is the first months, as it were, you know, particularly verses 1 and 2 of our text. Deliverance by the blood was going to be the mark of a new beginning. It was going to be something different for them. It was going to be the change that they had been looking for. It was going to be the opportunity to worship that they had longed for. You know, the years that they had spent in Egypt as slaves, that was not going to count anymore. It wasn't going to be something that was going to be paramount in their heart and in their minds once they became set free by our Lord. F.B. Meyer said, our life before conversion is not reckoned with God. And I love that particular statement. When you think about it, you know, too many people today in our society are held up by their past. They sit back and say, well, you don't know what I used to be. You don't know the things that I used to do. And you know, my answer to them is always this. It's not about what you used to do. It's about what are you doing today and what are you doing as you go forward? Because I know that the Word tells us that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and you were still usable. I love particularly even as we're going through the Exodus to recount the situation of Moses. Remember what he did. Moses killed a man. Yeah, Moses actually was running for his life when he left Egypt after being raised essentially in Pharaoh's household. And you know, so you think about what his past was. God actually went to him, and he's a person who was guilty of murder. You think about so many biblical characters, and you look at their past, and they had a pretty rough past. But through Jesus Christ, you and I are new. We cannot allow the things of the past to keep us from being what God wants us to be for now, in the present, and as we go forward in the future. If you are not living for Christ, then let me just state it this way. You are wasting your time. We are living for so many things in this world today. You know, we're living for more money. We're living for bigger property and nicer cars and all these different things. And folks, let me tell you something. If you are not living for Christ, all those other things are going to pass away. But living for Christ is the only thing that's going to make it into eternity. And eternity is something that you and I cannot even begin to fathom. Let's stop wasting our time with the frivolous things of this present life, and let's get involved with the Word of God. Let's get involved with what it is that He wants to use us to do for His honor, for His glory, and for His kingdom. I've said this so many times. What we need to be about is kingdom work. You know, everybody's got personal opinions on so many different things, but does it deal with the kingdom? Does it enhance the kingdom? Does it bring somebody to Jesus? Does it bring somebody closer to Jesus? What are those things that are going on in our life, okay? Yeah, the cry from so many hearts is, if only I could start over. If only I could begin once again. If I could get a do-over, okay? Well, with Christ, you do get a do-over. You know, we begin this through the new birth or being born again or being saved, as you may have heard it. That's a new start. That's a new chance. I know that the Word also tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's tough for each and every one of us to make it through a day without sinning. But thanks be to God that through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And everything that I'm telling you about, all these things that you've heard about in regard to forgiveness of sin, is a great, great picture of the text that we're looking at today. We're seeing what it was that Jesus told Israel was going to happen and what was going to take place on that day. So, you know, we have to have faith in the blood of the Lamb. Now, when we consider our text in verses 3 through 7, deliverance from death is dependent upon the blood of a lamb. Now, you notice what he said. He gave them some very specific instructions on what they were to do when he would pass through. The bottom line was, he said he's going to pass through the land, and he is going to take the firstborn of all essentially the Egyptians. And he said there's going to be a way that when the death angel passes through, that there's going to be a marker that shows that this is a house that we're going to skip by. And he talked about how there would be the sacrifice of the lamb. Are you getting the parallel? Are you picking up on the parallel between the lamb that we're speaking of in our text today and the lamb of Jesus Christ? He said that lamb would be sacrificed. He told them very specifically how they would do that, and that they would roast it and that they would partake in it. Think about the Lord's Supper. That's one of the two ordinances of the Baptist Church today. And when we partake in the Lord's Supper, the bread represents his body. The cup represents his shed blood for us. And he says, as often as we do that, we do show his death until he comes. But he was telling them he was going to deliver them. He said, you will make a sacrifice of this lamb or this goat. He told them how it would be done. He said they were to partake of it. But he also said that they would take the blood of that lamb and they were to put it on the side doorpost of the house and over the lintel, meaning over the top threshold, so that when the death angel would pass through and see the blood, then that was the sign that those were the ones who were the believers, that they believed in what God would not only do for them, what God had done for them, and what would be coming down the road in the future through the giving of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, for the sins of the world. In other words, it was an identifier that these were people who were believers. And because of them being believers, and because of their faith, and because of their trust in God, the death angel would pass them. Yeah, there are so many parallels that we can make in this. God has always taken care of his children. I believe not only has he in the past, he does in the present, and he will continue to do so in the future. Now, it's interesting that there was the choice of a lamb, and God said, you will take a lamb, a male of the first year, perfect, without blemish. You know, Christ was the perfect one for us. Now, remember what we said. Even if Christ wasn't who he said he was, and he wasn't that person or that God incarnate that lived some 33 years on this earth, if he wasn't sinless, if he wasn't perfect, then the price for sin would not have been paid. All of those things are factors about who Jesus was, and because of who he was, what he can do for you and I. So Christ was the perfect one, the one without blemish. The one without sin, who gave his life up that you and I might have eternal life. Now, I don't want to say that he just gave his life up, because he did go to Calvary's cross. He did give up his life, but he picked it back up again on the third day and conquered sin, death, and hell for you and I. I thought about that. Every time I say that, I'm reminded of my undergraduate days in college, and I had to write a gospel tract, and I probably shared this before, even through our broadcast, but I thought I did a really good job on that tract, and it turned out I failed on it, and the words still stand out in my mind. My professor said I did a great job talking about the crucifixion and talking about the burial. He said, but the problem is you left Jesus in the grave. You didn't talk about the resurrection, and without the resurrection, there is no change. Without the resurrection, there is no conquering of sin, death, and hell. So I always want to make sure that when we speak of Calvary's cross, when we speak of the gospel, when we speak of the grave, Jesus is not there. He rose on the third day. He ascended back to the Father. He has gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. So he was the perfect one, without blemish. The Lamb of God, as the Word talks about, the Lamb in heaven today, working for you and I, interceding for us to His Father, God our Father. And man, what a joy and a privilege that is. You know, it says the whole assembly. I like what it said when it was talking about that Lamb. It said the whole assembly shall kill it. One Lamb in God's sight. But it says the whole assembly, it was going to benefit a whole assembly and together. Does that not remind you of what took place when it came down to the crucifixion? Does that not talk about how those came up against Christ and how they had the trial and the beatings and the crucifixion and all the things that took place there. But the whole assembly would kill this particular lamb in God's sight. And they would have to strike the blood on the doorpost of the home, the doorpost and the lintel. Now, some of you may in the past have seen maybe some paintings or some artist renderings where you'll see like the door of a house and it shows the post and then the lintel of that door with the blood on the side of it. This is exactly what it is referring to. The two side posts, upper for God, that lintel, when the blood's across the post of that lintel, that is representative of God, and the sides on either side is a picture of man. And when you think about it, it is a picture of the cross and what took place upon it. You know, doing this would secure safety for the firstborn of Israel. And only doing that would. Folks, so many times the Lord tells us, if you have to have faith to do what I have asked you to do. And when you do have faith to do what I ask you to do, there will be consequences. Consequences both good and bad. You know, I've thought before about, a passage that we've talked about here around the church recently, about in John chapter 3:14. Most people know John 3:16 and 17, but they don't look at verse 14. But verse 14 says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that he might draw all men unto him." But here's the interesting part about that. That's a reference to a story of when God's people were essentially out roaming around. They were upset with him, and there was a bunch of vipers that came along and bit them, and they realized that this was a punishment from God. And God said to the prophet, "Here's what you do: you go fashion a serpent on a pole, put it out there in the courtyard." And so it is that if people get bit by these serpents, these poisonous serpents, if they go look upon the serpent that you have fashioned on a pole out there, then they will live. What that's a sign of is faith. It is believing that God will heal them as he said he would, but he has asked something of them. Go show your faith. You go look upon that serpent and you will be healed. I will make you a promise that those who did not go look upon the serpent that were bitten by poisonous serpents died. But those who had been bitten by serpents who did go and look upon the serpent in the courtyard then lived, because that was an act of faith that they had shown forth. Okay, so the Lord says, if you're obedient to do what I tell you to do, and I see the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, then I will pass over Israel, and your firstborn will be protected because of your faith in me, because of your trust in me. When I see the blood, Exodus chapter 12, verse 13 says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Boy, that's good news for you and I today as well. Does he see the blood upon us? Are we covered in the blood? I like what the New Testament tells us. It says, though your sins be as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. But the only thing that can wash that sin out is the blood of the Lamb. Are you covered with it today? Have you begun that relationship? Now, boy, when we get into this, that doesn't sound like check the card if you've trusted Christ. That doesn't sound like just go pray with the preacher. That doesn't sound like I have fulfilled the requirements to do this. No, that sounds like a relationship, and that's exactly what it is. Folks, I want to challenge each and every one of us today. We're living in a society of easy believism where we think if we just simply say a prayer, then that's it. That's the culmination of what salvation is. I prayed, I asked the Lord to save me, and that's it. No, it's not. That's just the beginning. When you trust Christ and you become part of the family, he wants you to live as part of his family. And he's given us what he wants and what he expects of us in his word. So the question is, are you following his word? Man, I know people that have gone out there and they're like, okay, well, I did the thing. I'm saved. I trusted Christ. But yet there was no change in their life. And I'm not saying that you go out and change it, because you can't. But I am saying that when you trust Christ, you're given the Holy Spirit, your leader, your guide, your teacher. And because of that, then he works in your life. You will want to change those ways because you love the Father and you love the Son and you love the Holy Spirit. And you know His Word says these things are sin and that you shouldn't do them. And you desire to be pleasing to the Father. That's what will change you. That's why we sing, I call it the Baptist anthem at invitation time, just as I am. He's not telling you to change anything. He's not saying fix this and cut that off and work on that and dress this way and dress that way. He said, you come to me just as you are. You know, sin-filled, come to me just like you are. And I will change you. And see, the thing about it is, folks, when you trust the Lord and when you begin to walk with Him and when you listen to Him and when you communicate with Him, you will want to make those changes. Not because somebody told you you should, but because the Lord has led you to do so and you want to be pleasing in His sight. So the blood of the Lamb is something for you and I that's a matter of safety. I like, you know, when we talk about feeding on the Lamb, we can reference our text in verses 8 through 11. The Lamb provided safety for Israel, and the Lamb provides safety for you and I today. You know, and the meat of that lamb provided strength for them. It was the protein that they needed to have strength for the journey that not only they were in the midst of, but that they would be partaking in as they would have the opportunity to leave Egypt just down the road a little bit. You and I need that same strength for the journey. We also need to feed on the Lamb. We've got to be praying. We have got to be in the Word of God. That's where the meat comes from. I like what people said before. That's where we're fed. And so many times today, you know, you'll hear somebody say, well, I don't go to that church anymore because I just wasn't being fed. Well, folks, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that it's just up to the preacher only to feed you? No, you got to feed yourself. I mean, you know, and by the way, you eat more than once a week, don't you? I mean, if you took physical nourishment and sustenance only one time a week, man, you'd be weak. You'd be anemic. You wouldn't be able to accomplish much of anything. No, you and I eat every day, multiple times a day. Well, as we feed on the Lamb, how do we do that? We get into His Word. We learn, you know, what His expectations of us are. We learn of His love and His mercy and His grace that He bestows upon us. We pray to Him and we reach out to Him. We pray without ceasing. And all these things are ways that we might be strengthened for our journey. So that's what the meat of this sacrificial lamb represented for them. It would provide strength in the same way the meat of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, provides meat for strength for you and I for our journey on this earth. You know, so how are they to eat the lamb in accordance with what the scriptures say? It says that it was to be roast with fire. Yeah, this is a representation of the judgment of the cross. How many times have we said, even in our lives, yeah, they were tried by fire? Well, that is representative of judgment. It says that they were to eat with unleavened bread. And this is representation of Christ's purity. Leaven, yeah, that's a fancy word. And believe it or not, some people today don't really understand what that is. That's yeast. Well, we know that if you want bread to rise, you put yeast in the dough, and that's what causes it to rise. But leaven, or like the yeast, was something that was looked at in the biblical days to be something as sin. You know, it says a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. You know, a little sin creates a sin for the whole body. A little bit of that yeast in the dough will cause the whole loaf to rise. So the unleavened bread is representation of Christ's purity. And it also says that it would be eaten with bitter herbs. Think about the suffering of Christ. And Christ tells you and I, we will suffer along with Him on this life's journey. There's this false fallacy, false theology today that so many people tout that says, well, if you become a believer, then life is going to get great. You're not going to have any problems in the world. I know that some of you that if you stuck with me this far through this message, that just made you laugh because you're like, no, in fact, it becomes even worse. The suffering intensifies in many, many cases. So those bitter herbs of this Passover feast are representation of the suffering of Christ. It says also that when they ate it, they were to eat it with their loins girded. In other words, they're supposed to be ready to go, ready to serve, have your shoes on, have yourself ready to rock and roll, ready to go serve. Are you ready to go serve at a moment's notice, or are you too busy enjoying the leisure time knowing that you're a believer? But, you know, God didn't call us to the lazy boy. He called us to put our shoulder to the grindstone. It says also that as they partook in this meal, that they should do so with their staff in hand. You know, pilgrims. Think about being ready to go as a sign of the fact that where they were is not where they were supposed to be. They still had a journey to get where it was that God wanted them to be. And so do you and I. Are we not on a journey? Folks, this world and this earth is not our home. As a believer, our home is in heaven. So we are pilgrims. We're sojourners in this land until we get to the promised land of heaven that God has promised each and every one of us. We're pilgrims here, and that's representation of the staff in hand. For Israel, it was the fact that Egypt was not the place that they belonged, and they were going to be going to the place where God had prepared for them. It says, I always like to say this, with their shoes on their feet, ready to walk in His strength. They had to be ready to go at a moment's notice. I mean, there are some people that I know of in my life, I love dearly. They're not with me anymore, but one in particular was a mentor of mine. When that guy put his shoes on in the morning, he did not take his shoes off until it was time for him to go to bed. And the reason why was, you know, for him, it was to be always ready to have that opportunity to go on behalf of the Lord. He was a pastor, so if the phone rang, he was ready to go. He didn't have to take the time to put his shoes on. He was already in go mode no matter what. And what a joy he was to me, what a mentor that he was in my life. And as we think about this, there's such a parallel of the Passover feast back then to you and I and our Christianity today. You know, when there's coming a judgment, but as the Lord looks at our lives, does he see the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel? Are you going to be spared when the judgment falls? Are you going to be spared when the trumpet sounds and time is no more? God has given us provision. He has given us provision in Christ's death for everything that you and I need. He has given us the provision of forgiveness of our sin through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He has justified us through that death, burial, and resurrection. And we have the chance to overcome in daily life simply because we have the leadership and the guidance and the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what a joy that should be to each and every one of us. Jesus today, folks, is all that you and I need. My question begs to come forth today, and that is this. Have you received Jesus Christ? When the Lord looks at you, does he see the sign of the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel of your heart? Or does he see you as somebody that he doesn't know? I always love the passage that says, the Lord knows his children and calls them by name. I've shared before that particularly in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he called Lazarus by name because he knew Lazarus. But he always called the rich man simply the rich man because he didn't know him. Does God know your name? If he does, it's because he sees the blood on the doorpost of your heart and on the lintel of your heart. And that was your day of deliverance. Folks, if you don't know Christ today, I beg you, trust him. Give your heart, give your life to him. Cry out to him in prayer and say, Lord, I understand I'm a sinner today and that I need you as my Savior. Lord, save my soul, forgive my sin, and help me live for you. And folks, I will make you this promise that if you do that with all of your heart, and all of your might, and you did that believing, then I promise you that today God has recorded your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants desperately to use you, and he wants desperately to love you, and he wants desperately to provide for you. Will you allow him to do that? Yeah. And when the time comes of the judgment, will you be spared the judgment simply because the blood of the Lamb is a characteristic of your life? I hope and pray it is, and we need to pray for each and every one that we know and love that they have made that decision as well, and we just need to ask God to use us. We need to ask God to help us be ready and help us be prepared to be the on the journey he wants us to be on, You know, some of us are stuck in Egypt, and God's got other plans for us. He's got the promised land. We need to be heading toward that promised land. Have you got your staff in hand? Have you got your shoes on? Have you accepted the feeding of the Lamb? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I hope and pray that you have. Let me give you, I tell you what, let's just pray for one another. We'll dismiss in a word of prayer. I'll tell you what we'll be discussing next week. And thank you so much for joining us today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we're grateful and thankful for your word and for the way that you've made a way. And Lord, all we have to do is trust you. What a parallel between the Passover feast of the days of Israel when they were captives in Egypt and salvation today through Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that for everybody who has heard this message, I just pray, Father, that as you look upon their heart, that you truly see the mark of the blood on the doorpost and overhead, meaning that they have trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. They've given their life over to you, and that what awaits them is the promised land of heaven for all of eternity. Lord, I pray if that's not the case, that you would convict their heart, that before this sun even sets, that they would trust you and that they would have new life in you. And Lord, may they begin the journey to the promised land of peace that you have for them. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us. Let me go ahead and tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week. Next week, I want you to stay in chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, just like you read this past week. And next week, we will be discussing feeding on the Lamb from the book of Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. Okay, that's Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 through 11. You won't want to miss that. So be sure to join us for that. And if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area and do not have a church home, we would love to have you join us here at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. If you are familiar with the area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. We would love to see. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and you would definitely be a blessing to us if you came by. We'll look forward to seeing you there. God bless you. Have a great week. May you be a blessing to somebody today.